I'm hot and I haven't even started yet. But Run 51 got me want to run. And lay out. I can't do that in church anymore. Let me pull this down a little bit. All right. All right. I'm trying. All right. I want to thank you all for having me this morning. And I have a hard topic to share, but I want to ask that you bear with me and have a spiritual ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Over the last couple of days, yesterday and today, I've had a few conversations with friends, and I want to start by saying that because of those relationships and because of those conversations, I've been informed about some of their personal struggles and how the United States military, on behalf of the United States government, has broken their families. And that is something that breaks my heart. And so before I even get started, I want to take a time to apologize to those friends and for their family and ask for their forgiveness on that. And what I'll be sharing this morning, as someone who had the privilege of serving as an officer in the United States military, is the opportunity that God has allowed me to learn something in the physical that actually has a lot of spiritual ramifications. Okay? I'm going to talk about training and mobilizing people in the church. So let me open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this word. We thank you for this, your faithfulness. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to gather here and to praise your wonderful name. We thank you that you are our King. We thank you that your word is true. We thank you that we know the end of the story. And so we pray that you help us now. Help us to live life better on this side. Help us to be faithful followers of you, Lord, and then equip us in this time to go out to make disciples who can stand against the scheme of the evil one. We ask these things in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The purpose of all training is to develop forces that can win in combat. Training is the key to combat effectiveness. However, training should not stop with the commencement of war. Training must continue during the war to adapt to the lessons of combat. This was a basic instruction I received as a young second lieutenant in the United States Marine Corps. It was a simple lesson about war fighting 101. And prior to receiving this instruction, I took a class on warfare strategy and tactics at the United States Naval Academy. And one of the required readings for that course was a book by the name of The Art of War. It was written by Sun Tzu. And this book of essays was authored by a military strategist during the late Zhou Dynasty, around about 500 BC. And it's still considered the best book ever written on the subject of war. And the most interesting thing about Sun Tzu's strategy is that concerning warfare, he was not so concerned about the matter of force, about what was destroying the enemy materially or physically. Sun Tzu cared about unsettling the enemy psychologically. He was concerned about the why and how of the enemy and his soldiers and what they thought. One of his essays on the offensive strategy closes with the following instructions. Therefore, I say, know the enemy and know yourself. In 100 battles, you will never be in peril. When you are ignorant of the enemy, but know yourself, your chances of winning are equal. If ignorant of both your enemy and yourself, you are certain in every battle to be in peril. This is the art of war. And with this leading and instruction, I want to share with you about the importance of making disciples. And my language of choice today is the art of mentoring and multiplying. I was in my early to mid-20s when I started to receive instruction about military warfare. And it was also during the time when I was beginning my faith journey with Christ. So I wrestled to understand the physical instruction that I was receiving about an oath that I had taken to lay down my life in service to country, in service to the Marine Corps. And the oath that I had taken to lay down my life to a greater one, Jesus, the King of everything. And because of my professional background and instruction, it was easy for me to see and understand spiritually that indeed we as a people of God are at war. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus saying this about war. He says that we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So when we look around and we see the depression and the suffering and the sickness and the brokenness and the pain of this world, it is easy for us to know and understand this is not what God originally intended for his very good creation. But our war is not against flesh and blood. Our warfare and the warfare of every single human being is against our common enemy, Satan. Yeah. And Jesus described him as a thief who comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And Christ defined himself as the one who has come so that we might have life. So we make disciples, we mentor, we multiply. One of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, Peter, wrote about it in this way. He says that we must be self-controlled and alert because the enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the face. Because you know that your brothers and our sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. You must know your enemy. Let there be no doubt. When we call people to follow Jesus, we are indeed calling them into an offensive strategy to take a stand against this enemy in spiritual warfare. When we talk about disciples making disciples, and when I talk about the art of mentoring and multiplying, I'm saying quite simply that you must prepare people for war. Yeah. Yeah. My husband entered the Marine Corps at the tender age of 18. It was 13 years after his high school graduation, and he set foot on the Yellow Footprints in Parris Island in South Carolina. And after that time, he was immersed in a new culture, in a new way of life. And the shifts were subtle at first. Countless hours of doing things like polishing shoes and ironing uniforms. It was these daily disciplines and the keen sense that he had made a life-changing decision that made him separate, different, from everyone else in the world. These were the things that made him a Marine. So when we entered into the military, it was a time when for at least 6 weeks, you didn't have access to the internet or the telephone or any kinds of media or outside influences, because this period of indoctrination was meant for the purpose of conditioning you to a new way of life. It was about establishing a culture, a character that formed you into the military standards and expectations. We were constantly challenged to evaluate our old thoughts and our old way of life. You must, know yourself. And we were constantly challenged when we were not working together towards a common goal, a task. We were memorizing regulations, we were ironing uniforms, and polishing shoes. The simple daily choices we made over a consistent period of time is what changed us. And this was only the beginning of our training. The diligence, the consistency, the instruction, the repetition, the long obedience, the togetherness. These were the hallmarks of our preparation for war. These were the things that set us on a course for a new way of life. These are the critical life skills that we need when we talk about discipline and training. But the Apostle Paul says that though we live in the world, we don't wage war in the same way that the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. Notice here that he did not say that as believers, we don't fight. He says that as believers, there are certain ways in which we fight. There are certain ways in which we train. There are certain weapons in which we use. What is our strategy and tactics? What are our weapons? Allow me to present you quite briefly a battle plan for mentoring and making disciples, mentoring and multiplying. And it's not all inclusive. That is found in my book. When I talk about mentoring as a mission for God's kingdom purpose, when I talk about mentoring as intentional discipleship, the principles and the purposes behind that, this is an endeavor for all believers. We need everybody on the front line. So I want you to think about this presentation as a short essay about an offensive strategy in spiritual warfare. And this strategy is one about making disciples under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit. The first strategy and tactic is this: teach people how to pray. This was a request that the disciples made of Jesus. And Jesus responded that when you pray, do so in this manner. And we know from his other teachings about vain repetition that it was not his intent for us to memorize this thing we call the Lord's Prayer now and recite it with no thought for the words. When we pray, we first acknowledge our Father, who is holy. And when we pray, for your kingdom come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, this is a powerful prayer about our allegiance. It is a prayer and an oath that we stand on the Lord's side. It is a prayer that we want to see his mission accomplished on earth now. Praying is an act of spiritual warfare. We must teach people how to pray. The second strategy and tactic is this: teach them how to praise. I'm a little concerned with the new contemporary ways of worship when we bring people up and everybody sit and watch or stand and watch, and then we clap at the end and everybody laugh and smile and go home. And it's not a corporate act. It's a lost art. Joshua and his army marched around the fortified city of Jericho for 6 days in silence. And Joshua said to the priests, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day that I tell you to shout, and then you shout." And they followed Joshua's instruction for 6 days. They walked around that fortified wall. And on the seventh day, they walked around that wall 7 times in the presence of the Lord because the ark was among them. And then Joshua had the priest sound a loud trumpet. And then Joshua said, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, and the city and all that it's in it belongs and is devoted to the Lord. And if we flip on over to the New Testament around the book of Acts in chapter 16, there you will read, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And it is this act of warfare that brought about an earthquake. And the jailer was about to commit suicide. And Paul said, hold up, don't do that, don't do that yet. And what we see is that the one who's keeping them in chains gets saved. The oppressor and his family get baptized because Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Many of the psalmists understood that praise was an act of spiritual warfare. And so did Jehoshaphat. And so did David. And so did Gideon. And so did Nehemiah. We must teach people how to praise again. The third strategy and tactic is this. Teach them how to stand watch. This idea of standing watch is about teaching people how to persevere in the faith. Anybody can start. It's about how you finish. It is about removing the blinders from people's eyes. We must root and ground people in the Word of God. Yeah. Biblical illiteracy will surely lead to battle failure. Yeah. They must know the Word for themselves. Training is about teaching our sisters and brothers to be alert and vigilant, about always being aware of where God is at work in the world and joining in that great work. One of the most critical times of spiritual warfare we see in the Bible happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there the Bible says that our Savior and Commander-in-Chief was troubled in his spirit. This God-man Jesus did not want to be alone in this hour, and so he called on his three closest friends. And he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch for me." He called them to stay awake and to pray, and as he begged and pleaded with his Father to see if there was another way to win this war. And he went away, and he came back three times, and every time he returned, his disciples were asleep. It is a sinful and sad occurrence to be asleep when God calls us to stand watch. Everyday Christians are losing battles because they are weak or lazy or tired or lacking in training. An undisciplined mind or heart is not spiritually awake. So I'm calling you to a mission of mentoring and multiplying for God's kingdom. And I'm so glad today that in spite of our weaknesses and our failures, that Jesus went on to faithfully fulfill his duties. Like a good warrior, he was willing to lay down his life for the sake of his friends. He said that greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, he says, if you do what I command. We must be willing to lay down our lives for the sake of this gospel. We must be willing to lay down our agenda for the sake of other people. And when he said this, even his parting words to his disciples was, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, the command is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." I know who holds the future. I know who wins this war. And as disciples in Christ, we must intentionally prepare people for their daily battles so they can learn how to persevere in the faith together. As we are going, as we are baptizing, as we are teaching them to obey, we make disciples. It is our duty as good warriors to prepare our brothers and sisters so they are not defeated. Help them to take an offensive posture against the enemy because we belong to God. In the end, we win. And I can take a stand against the enemy on this earth because we know who owns the future. We know who our commander in chief is. And my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lead on Jesus' name. In Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. The art of mentoring and multiplying is this, that we must teach people to be prayerful. We must teach them how to praise. We must teach them how to stand watch. And we must get everybody information on the front line to follow this great commander in chief, because this Jesus, he reigns. He reigns. He reigns, and we will follow him until the end, to the glory of God. Amen.